So Mark 4 from verse 21, this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
I'm going to pray, but before I do, I've just got a train of thought in my head. I was at another church on Wednesday and Thursday, and the thing that was running through my head when I was at this other church on Wednesday and Thursday is, "Oh, you're not St. Ebbs, are you? I really like St. Ebbs, so thank you for being the church family you are." But that's not what we're talking about, but thank you. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God's blessing on us as we look at this passage today. Dear Father God, thank you that you love us so, so much. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't leave us in the cold. You tell us what you're like. You tell us what we're like. You tell us what the world's like so that we know how to fit in and how to walk through life with you as our God, with you as our help. We pray now as we look at this passage, you would speak to us. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that he's real and alive and active. Would he speak to us through this passage tonight? And we pray that he would do that for your name's sake, for your glory. Amen. Now, today's 1 month till Christmas, which is exciting. It's really exciting. Maybe you're not so excited, but Christmas is really exciting. It's really, really exciting. Now, I don't know if you know, but coming up, we've got some carol services. So on the 16th of December, or for some people, we've got the Taff Carol Service. But on the 16th of December, Christmas starts earlier and earlier each year, not that early. We've got two carol services. And on the 23rd, we've got two carol services. And we would love you to be inviting friends to them. We'd love you to be inviting them. And people like carols, don't they? They like to come and sing carols. It's going to be lovely candlelights and all sorts. Very sweet, very twee. It'd be lovely. In the middle of the service, we're going to have some Bible readings. We're going to have a talk. Afterwards, we're going to have some mince pies and some wine. But why do we do it? Why do we do that? Why do we go to the effort? Why do we go to the bother? Why don't we just carry on doing normal church? Well, we do it because we think that that talk in the middle, that 20-minute slot, we believe that is the power of God to bring his kingdom on the earth. We believe that as the Bible's opened and explained and talked about, whether at the carol services, or at a coffee shop with a friend getting it open and looking at it and saying, oh, this is what Jesus is like. Or when you're walking along the path with a friend and they say, oh, you went to church, tell me about it. And you tell them that story about Jesus, about how he did that amazing thing or he said that amazing thing. We believe that that is God's power to bring his kingdom on earth. We believe that that is God's power to save people from eternity without God to being with him. It's amazing, isn't it? But we look at it and we think, it's just stories, isn't it? It's just a 20-minute little talk at a carol service. Will it really make a difference? Yes, Matt, I'll bring my friends, more out of guilt than anything else, probably. But come on. Do we really expect that when someone stands at the front and tells a story about Jesus, do we really expect God to do anything? I've talked to my friend. We've gone to a coffee shop, we've opened the Bible, we've looked at it, and do you know what? They think it's silly. They think it's pathetic. They laugh at me for believing in Jesus. Well, Mark chapter 4 wasn't written to us, but it is for us. And it's really helpful to help us to realize, yeah, this book we have here, this message we have here is the power of God to bring his kingdom on earth. This thing is like dynamite. It can change the world, turn it upside down. And my prayer that as we see this story today, we wouldn't think, oh, what a weak, silly, pathetic thing. Bring someone to a carol service to hear a little talk, or that conversation in the playground, or that chat at work by the computer screen, or that conversation in the pub or whatever. I hope that we see that as like, wow, this is the potential to save someone, the potential to bring God's kingdom on earth. That's been my prayer, but let's see where we go. Let's have a look. Now, it wasn't written for us first, Jesus didn't explain it to us first. He said it to the disciples. He told these parables to people at the time because we think that 20-minute talk in a carol service is pathetic and weak and silly. People were saying the same thing about Jesus. They were looking at him and they were thinking he was pathetic, silly, and weak. Now the Bible says God's king's going to come on the earth, and when he comes, wow, amazing. The world is going to be transformed. God's king is going to bring God's kingdom now and forever. And Jesus came and he went, and not a lot changed. Yes, he came and he did amazing things. He did amazing things, but I think sometimes we can get a bit bamboozled, a bit amazed by the miracles. But actually, Jesus tells us what he did most days was he just went to different places, went to different houses, and he just talked. He told stories about the kingdom of God. And he said that's how the kingdom's going to grow. And do you know what? Not many people followed him. Not many people believed in him. And the disciples were worried. And other people were worried, thinking, maybe Jesus isn't the one. I thought when the king came, God would go alakazam and the Romans would go and it would be like heaven on earth. It would be incredible. It would be amazing. And well, it's not really that, is it? People would have been worried. And it's into that situation Jesus speaks. This weak, pathetic looking king. He's not weak. He's not pathetic. And when we see that and we see how the kingdom grows, I hope that will excite us for that little chit chat. That time when you open your Bible with someone, inviting them to a service. I hope it changes the way you sit in the service, the way you pray in the service. But let's have a look at what's going on. And I just want to start at verse 26 to 29. Why is it happening like this? Why didn't it happen all at once? Well, this parable, Jesus is basically saying, God's working, but God's working in his perfect timing. God's working at his timing, his time frame. Let's have a look at the parable. He also said, so Jesus said, verse 26, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Now, we've seen that before. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, Jesus first said these words to the disciples, to the people there. They expected God's kingdom to come just like that. And he says, no, it's not just like that. I think this is the main point of the parable. Have a look at verse 28. The seed goes out. The word of God goes out. The thing that grows the kingdom goes out. The king is here sowing the seed. And verse 28, he says, slow down. Slow down. It's not all at once. Harvest doesn't come just like that. What happens? First, the stalk. So you just get a little bit come out of the ground, poking out that little green thing. Then the ear. So it grows and slowly. Then the full grain in the ear, and then the harvest comes. Everyone thought it would be harvest time immediately. The king comes, harvest comes. But Jesus is saying, no, slow. God's perfect timing. First the little green thing, then the growy thing, then it goes yellow, then all the buddy bits come out, and then harvest comes. God's kingdom's on earth, and it's going to be amazing. But it's coming, not as quick as you think. And it's coming. Did you notice? God's behind it. So the guy goes out and he scatters it. I imagine he maybe watered it. I imagine he did other bits and bobs. But in reality, he just scattered it and then he just went to sleep. And then he got up and then he made his breakfast and he looked at it and nothing was happening. And blah, 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 blah. He went back to bed and up and bed and up and bed and up. And what happened? Well, he didn't do anything, but it happened. It grew. Then they had harvest and then it was amazing. They had harvest and it was amazing. And what's the point? The man isn't integral, but God is. God makes this seed grow. God is the one that makes the harvest happen. And Jesus is saying, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming in God's perfect timing. You see, God's patient. God loves the world so much. God loves you so much that he doesn't just bring the kingdom immediately and bring judgment immediately. God loves people too much to do that. He slows it down. Why? Because he wants millions and millions and millions of people in his kingdom. Billions of people to be in his kingdom when it finally comes. When harvest comes, so just a little bit, then a little bit more, then a little bit more before the harvest. It looks slow, but God's at work. It looks slow, but trust God's perfect timing. Be patient. God's being patient. Next story. Next parable I find very, very helpful. It is growing, but doesn't it look pathetic? Looks so pathetic in England, doesn't it? We're tiddly. Look around, we're tiddly. The whole of St. Ebbs, what are we, 1,000-ish people? All the Christians in Oxford, what are we? I haven't got a clue. Not many thousand, we're not 10, 20,000. It's pathetic, very small, very tiny. Think of England. 5% in churches, good churches. Small, isn't it? Tiny, isn't it? We're busy telling people about Jesus. Not many are responding. But boy, people are responding all around the world. It is amazing. The Christian message is being spoken about all around the world. And do you know what's happening? In other countries, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are coming to faith every single day. Every day. Thousands of people are becoming Christians. It looks pathetic to us, but God's at work in his perfect timing. I love this story. Have a look at it. Parable of the mustard seed. Wait there. I didn't bring one, but I wouldn't be able to find it anyway. They're so small, so insignificant. But have a look at the story. Verse 30. Again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are tiddly, tiddly, tiddly. What they are, do you know a pin, like a pin when you make stuff? Like when you make a dress or whatever you make, those things. The head is bigger than a mustard seed. So they're not like invisible, like there's a mustard seed, that's a lie. They're not like invisible, but they're tiny, tiddly tiny. Anyway, the kingdom of God's like that. Verse 31. It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So what's the story? It looks small. It looks significant. Now, I've never seen a mustard plant in real life. I've seen pictures of them. Tiddly seed, They're not like great oak trees, but they are like 8, 9, 10 feet. From these tiddly little seeds, they get pretty impressive. You would never guess that that seed would grow into that. They're so big that not bald-headed eagles, but pretty big birds can perch in their branches. Not like massive trunks, but they're big. And you would never have guessed it. Never have guessed it. And Jesus is saying God's kingdom's like that. You would never, ever have guessed it. But it's growing. Just look at Jesus. You would never have guessed what happened to him would lead to him being the most famous man ever. What happened to him? He was rejected. What happened to him? He was killed. And I don't think this, but people really thought he was a loser. People mocked him and insulted him, thought he was pathetic. There's like the most amazingly horrible graffiti about Jesus that you can see online in the first century. Pictures just mocking him. People think he's God. He died. How can he be? People think he's amazing. He died. How can he be? Just looks pathetic. Looks so small. So unlikely to turn into a worldwide movement. So unlikely to turn into the man that's going to dominate forever and ever and ever. Looks so pathetic. Dead on a cross. What can he do? Well, that moment when he died was the moment in history when the world changed, when the universe changed. He died and it looked awful. He died and it looked pathetic. But his death means that you and me can be forgiven by God. His death means that you and me can be a part of his kingdom. His death means anyone, anywhere, anytime can come into God's family. That moment looked awful, it looked pathetic, but it changed the world, and it's going to change the future. He rose from the dead. You would never have guessed that. You'd never have guessed it. No one would have guessed it. Everyone thought it was over. He rose from the dead. He then went up to heaven. You'd never have guessed that, and you're never going to guess what he's doing in the future. But if you just look on the internet and see what he's doing now, it started with a handful of people. They reckon there are about 2.5 billion Christians in the world now. That's not bad for a start with 100 or so people. It's pretty impressive. But it's growing and growing and growing and growing every day. We may not see it, but it's growing, just like this mustard seed. How's it growing? Well, I think the next story is there to tell us how. It looks so unconnected. Chapter 4, Jesus is telling parables. Parable, 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 parable. Then we get a story. A story about Jesus calming a storm. At first glance, it looks like a crazy story, doesn't it? Absolutely crazy. They're in a boat, fishermen, like guys that are used to being in boats. And there's a storm. Here's guys who are used to being in boats, and there's a storm. They're pretty tough. They're pretty manly men. They're used to storms. But here they are petrified. They're petrified, and they're tossing out water, and they're screaming, and they're yelling, and they don't know what's going on, apart from they do know what's going to happen. They're definitely going to die. Verse 37, a furious squall came up. Furious squall. Waves breaking over the boat. It nearly swamped them. Jesus was just asleep. He's just asleep, and they put two and two together. He's done amazing miracles. They go over, they wake him up, they shake him. He gets up, he looks at them, he looks at the wind, and they say, I've lost the bit on the page. There we go. They say to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Do you not care? We're about to die. And I don't know if he was rubbing sleepy dust out of his eye or whatever, but what are you so afraid of? He looks at the wind and the waves, and what does he do? Anyone? What does he do? What does he use? He uses words. He uses his words. He just looks at the wind and the waves, not just little winds and waves, massive, whopping winds and waves, and he just says, shh, I want to go to sleep. I doubt that's what he said, but you get the point. He just looked at the winds and the waves and said, shh, shh, quiet, be calm, be still. He just spoke. No one else in the boat probably heard him. But the winds and the waves did, and they shut up, and they stopped, and they obeyed. They did exactly what he wanted. Calm. Peaceful. Amazing. Now, the disciples are petrified. Now, they were scared of the storm. Now they're really scared. They are petrified. Who is this? Who is this that can stop winds and waves? Their knees are quaking. They are shaking. absolutely scared. Wouldn't you be scared if someone just was walking out and just said, oh, I hate rain, stop, and it stopped? You would be a little worried, quite excited that it's dry, but more worried that that man's there. They were petrified. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, why is this story here? It's here to tell us that God's words, Jesus' words, are really, really powerful. They can stop winds, they can stop waves, and they can bring God's kingdom on earth just like that. So you invite someone to a carol service, Jesus' words are there. Jesus' words, what do? They stop winds, they stop waves. What can Jesus' words do? They saved me. They saved you, didn't they? Those silly stories that you heard, they grabbed you, didn't they? Why? Because Jesus was at work. They brought you to see that you were a sinner who needed Jesus' help. You gave up your entire future, your life on earth, to live for him. Why? These silly stories. That 20-minute talk. That little thing from the Bible. Not a little thing. Jesus' words. The power of God to bring change on earth. The power of God to transform the earth. The power of God to save your families. To save your friends. To save your neighbors. Come on, let's get talking about Jesus. Let's get pointing to things about Jesus. Let's get inviting people to carol services. And when we're there, we pray. You made the winds and the waves stop. Please save Dot. Please save whoever it is. I don't know why I chose Dot. That's a random name. But you get the point. Let's be praying that Jesus' power is at work when they're sat there next to us. Let's be saying to them, do you fancy reading the Bible with me? Let's be praying they say yes. And let's be praying that we see God's power at work, saving them. Now, this passage tells us something else right at the beginning. Right at the beginning, it says something to us for us. Verse 21, I'll read. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Jesus' words go out, and our friends hear them. And we pray that they respond. But Jesus' words go out to us, and we need to be careful how we respond. Verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. Why? Because whenever you read the Bible, whenever anyone talks to the Bible about to you, it is the power of God at work. Not me, Jesus. His words, they are the power of God at work. The God who made the universe is speaking when we open the Bible and talk about it. The God who is in control of everything that happened now, in the past, in the future, is at work when we've got this book open, or just when we're talking about it over a coffee. Powerful stuff. It's not to be taken lightly. Therefore, Jesus says, come on, consider carefully. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider how you use it. Consider what you do with it. Don't just come along and then think, oh, I need to do this when I get home. Stop, pause, consider carefully. I think we have loads of distractions in our lives. Loads and loads of distractions. Most of them are in our pocket in our smartphone, but there are loads of other ones. Loads of distractions. This stuff we need to consider carefully. 1 minute, 2 minutes, a day at least. 5, 10, maybe a bit more. Just pausing. I'm not saying read new bits, but maybe. A good habit would be on Monday morning. Consider carefully what you heard on Sunday. Just stop for a couple of minutes and think, what was that story? What did it tell me about Jesus? This one says that his words are powerful and they bring in his kingdom. His words are powerful and they transform the world. His words are powerful and they've saved you. They can save anyone. Consider that. Get excited by that. Pray about it. What can you do on Tuesday? Maybe you can think about it again. Oh, no, that's a bit much. Well, he says, consider carefully. Consider carefully and then put it into practice. Maybe think about, okay, I remember that yesterday. I need to think about that today. Maybe I can use Jesus' words when I talk to people today. Consider carefully. Think about how you can remember it and put it into practice. And the amazing thing is, I think it's going to be an amazing roller coaster, like an absolutely incredible journey. If we take Jesus' words out to the world, he says it's his power to bring God's kingdom. I'm excited, aren't you? It's amazing. It will look weak. It will look silly. It will look pathetic, but God will work. We've had a guy staying with us called Kevin. He stayed in June for a month, and then he came back and he's been with us for a month. He's gone now. And Kevin didn't speak much English. And Phoebe knows him. We got to know him through Phoebe, actually. And what can you do? What can you do to help him learn English? You give him a Chinese English Bible. So here's Kevin, and he's reading his Chinese English Bible. And never got very good. Just in case. His English got amazing, and we were able to really converse. All he basically did was reading the Bible. Little chats. And Kevin, now's a Christian. Looks so silly, pathetic. Read this book, it'll help you with your English. Please God help him. Amazing. Silly, pathetic little. Kevin's now a Christian. He's gone back to China. Who knows what's going to happen? But it's exciting, isn't it? He's got that book with him. Who can you talk to? Who can you tell that story to? Talk and pray. And remember that story. Whether we're asleep or awake, whatever we're doing, trust God's perfect timing to bring his kingdom on earth. He's great, isn't he? He's exciting. Let's get behind his mission. I'm going to pray in a minute, but why don't you just spend 1 minute considering carefully what we've seen. Let's pray together. Father God, please help us to be a people that consider carefully your words. Please would we consider it and remember it and put it into practice. Please help us to remember the power of your word. And therefore, when we read it, we'd be excited and expect you to work in us. Please would we be excited about the power of your word and be excited when we tell others and expect to see you at work. Please encourage us when we see that your work looks small sometimes. Please encourage us when we see things that you're doing elsewhere in the world. And please help us trusting in your powerful, good word that establishes your kingdom on earth. Lift to you our conversations this week. Lift to you those carol services and pray that you would be at work saving our families and our friends and our neighbors. Amen. Amen.